Welcome to the Unscripted SEO Interview Podcast. Yes, it's 100% unscripted, 100% unrehearsed, 100% unedited, and 100% real. I'm your host, Mark A. Preston.
And my guest today is somebody that I'd like them to introduce themselves purely because I don't want to do them any injustice. Hello.
Hey, thanks for having me. This is a little bit nerve-wracking. First unscripted, unedited podcast that I know of.
Don't worry. So we'll just go with the flow and see what happens. Please, could you just introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Bree E. Anderson. I am a digital marketing analyst. I like to say I am an analytical nerd with a soft spot for strategy. So I've been doing digital marketing since I was 16. That's quite the story. Started marketing bands back in the day. And now I have a consultancy called Beast Analytics, where I help people collect, understand, and use their data. So a lot of focus on GA4 nowadays, but ultimately that's not all we do. I help people with creating tracking plans and then understanding their data and using it to make data-driven decisions.
Wonderful. Now, could you just give us all a bit of a whirlwind tour of how and when you started in the industry to where you are now, please?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fun story. So like I said, I started at 16. I wrote my first marketing plan for a band. I had a few friends that were in bands and they were using MySpace primarily. And then, as we all know, MySpace died and it was a very sad day. And so we had no idea like when they were going to be playing, what merch they were going to have, that kind of stuff. So coincidentally, I started making them very bad websites on Wix, our friend Wix. And then I started doing some, like, thought I would do graphic design. I'm not very creative, so none of that stuff really panned out for me. But I did kind of create and manage communities for, I worked with some labels, some really small labels, music startup. And at that music startup, the owner asked if I would drop out of college and come work for him full time. And that's when I realized that there was, like, actually a way to get paid in digital marketing, right? At this time, I transferred colleges to the only school at the time that offered a digital marketing degree. And I kind of went all in from there and just said yes to as many things as I could, kind of hustled a little bit, interned at two agencies while in college, worked corporate while in college, freelanced while in college. And then out of college, went straight into industry and worked at an agency for a bit where I started. I was their first digital marketing hire. So I started as doing, like, kind of social media. And then I just realized really quickly that creating content for bands at concerts is a lot more fun than creating content about sandwiches at sandwich shops. Organic social turned into paid social. And that's when I really started getting my hands dirty with, like, analytics stuff. Paid social turned into paid Google ads. And that was the first time they kind of just, like, handed me a check of $1,000. And they were like, okay, can you go run ads with this? And I was like, that could pay my rent for 3 months. I mean, I was 19. It's like, that could pay my rent for 3 months. Are you sure you want to do that? So I was terrified I was going to lose all their money. And that's when I learned Google Analytics. So this was classic Google Analytics at the time, because I wanted to know where all their money went. I didn't want to be the one to lose their money. And I was able to show a return of, you know, $3 in donations for every $1 spent, because it was a nonprofit. And from there, my interest in the numbers and analytics really grew. So, you know, then it went into Universal Analytics. And then ultimately, we know what happened with Universal. I left the agency to go teach. And this is actually how I ended up started working in GA4, the day it came out. So I was teaching a digital analytics class, a marketing analytics class. And the day before, I went through everything and was like, yeah, great. We're going to be able to use Tag Manager. We're going to build these little sites, put Tag Manager on them in Google Analytics, and we'll be good. Tested it all. The next day I went to go teach it, and we set up Tag Manager, and we went to go grab our measurement ID out of Universal, well, out of Analytics. And I was like, oh, that's weird. Why doesn't it say UA dash something? It says G dash something. And literally overnight, they had switched to Google Analytics 4. And I just looked at the class and said, well, welcome to digital marketing. This is going to be the rest of your life. And so I started working Google Analytics 4 the day it came out. Pandemic happened. Or like, not the pandemic happened, but, you know, we were in the midst of the pandemic when GA4 came out, and my wife and I were trying to get pregnant. And I told the school, hey, listen, I was having to do office hours and things like that. So I adjunct for the last semester there, and just came in to teach classes and decided to kind of go out on my own, and really went all in on analytics the time that GA4 was surfacing. And I knew that GA4 was going to stick around. There were a lot of people that said that, you know, there was no way they were going to be able to push this on us and all that. But I'm glad I stuck with my guns, because now here I am, you know, making my rounds as someone that talks about GA4.
Now, that's an incredible story. Really is. Now, right at the beginning, I want to get the elephant out of the room and just ask, in your opinion, why do you think most of the SEO industry hate GA4?
Yeah, it's changed, right? It's a really big change. And it was a change that was forced upon us. We didn't have a choice. You had to move to Google Analytics 4. And it wasn't documented very well. There weren't a lot of resources. But I think mostly what happened was, you know, we had 10 years in this thing. And SEOs, you know, because I worked in an agency, I did a lot of SEO. So I have so many friends in the SEO specialty. But analytics is kind of like a necessary evil, right? So you pick it up over time. A lot of SEOs, they're kind of picking it up over time. They know Search Console, and they know enough to be dangerous in analytics. They're looking for like their very specific things. Over the last 10 years, they were able to get to a place where it was very usable for them. And it became second nature. Well, now we're starting from zero. We don't have, and arguably over the last 10 years, you've had to become more specialized, and you've had to focus in more on your craft. And so you were able to kind of like put analytics to the side as something like, well, I know enough, but now we have something that's completely different, and everybody's starting from zero and having to learn, and they don't have the time. And that makes it very frustrating, you know?
Yeah. Do you think that there's things that's missing in GA4 that they used to have, or is it just that they just don't know how to set it up or where it is?
Yeah, so in most cases, everything is in GA4. That was in Universal Analytics. It's just not in the same place. It might not be overly apparent as to where it is. You know, people don't know where multi-channel funnels is. It's actually under the advertising section of GA4. User or behavior flow isn't in the report section, but it's in the explore section. You know, that there are a lot of things in GA4 that cover the basis of what was in Universal Analytics. We actually have even more in GA4 than what we had in Universal Analytics. The only true things that I've come across that aren't in GA4 that were in Universal Analytics are around site speed. And even then, you could set up your own tags and Tag Manager and push site speed into GA4.
Yeah. So on a very basic level, the word easy is relative, but how easy is it to set up GA4 for a business that you can actually track something, the ROI, you know, you can actually do something with the data?
Like you said, it's relative, right? And honestly, a lot of it comes down to like your CMS, because your content management system, because like, let's say Like e-com is a big one. If you're using Shopify, you can set up GA4 pretty easily and get the majority of your events, including like revenue and purchase. But it's not going to be perfect because there's a lot that goes on in Shopify that or like that is customized by people that will make it harder for the out of the box integration to track everything. But in most cases, as long as you know how to put a pixel on a site, GA4 tracks a lot of things out of the box. It tracks your page views, obviously, outbound clicks, site searches, video views, file downloads, some form interactions if you turn it on, and your form matches like a typical code structure, right? So all those things can be tracked out of the box with GA4. So that's really, really nice. Now, once you start getting into more complex events and things like that, it's not any harder in GA4 than it was in Universal Analytics, because it's all done through, in most cases, like Tag Manager. And then it comes through. I would say the events and conversions part isn't harder in GA4. What's harder in GA4 is actually the fundamental setup in that admin section. There's a lot of things that are hidden and that people just aren't aware of that can really make or break your data.
Right. Now, one of the biggest questions about GA4 I get asked, and mainly from agency side, is, well, how can I set GA4 up for an e-commerce site to track the sales value of things? I mean, for me, that's one of the biggest things that I think that I personally get asked that people are struggling with.
Yeah, so like I said, Shopify, it's pretty easy because they have an integration that, you know, does it for you. If you add Google as a sales channel, basically is all you have to do. And then you can put in your Google Analytics measurement ID and it tracks those things for you. It really depends. So some folks who used Universal Analytics, so this is what I did. I had an e-commerce site on Wix. And all I did was I had all the Universal Analytics stuff set up through enhanced e-commerce measurement, right? Which was really nice. And you can create in Tag Manager. Simo Ahava created this products to items template, and you can use that in Tag Manager. Really what most people run into when it comes to tracking e-commerce is you have to have your items set up correctly to include an item name, an item ID, currency and value. And usually what's happened is one of those things is missing in the data layer, and then it doesn't track your items correctly. And they have to be very specific too. Like some things have to be strings, some things have to be numerical values. So it's Google's pretty picky when it comes to that. And it's usually not something simple. I want to say it's something simple, but it's usually one of those two things, is that it just isn't formatted correctly or we're missing one piece of information.
All right. Now, when Google made the switch the 1st of July, and anybody that hadn't set up GA4, Google automatically set it up for them. Now, that out-of-the-box setup,
yeah,
is how in depth or basic, or what does SEOs need to do with that out of the box setup to bring it up to scratch?
Yeah, so I would say that out of the box setup is actually pretty messy. That auto migration was pretty messy. So because all it does is it takes your settings from Universal Analytics more or less, and it applies them to GA4. But like fundamentally, GA4 is a completely different product, right? And it's the data structure is different. And so applying settings for one data structure to another data structure isn't great. So I would say that there's still a lot of work to be done if you were auto migrated. What I tell everyone is like, go into the admin section and touch everything. Like click on every link, do the view more, see all, whatever, and go through everything and kind of read it. Anything you don't understand, there's usually a blue hyperlink that says learn more, and you can open that and it takes you straight to the documentation. Because like that auto migration, it again is taking settings from one platform and applying them to another. But like there are things in GA4 that we didn't have in Universal Analytics, like a data retention, right, section. So in GA4 under in the admin section, you see the option for data under data collection to look at your data retention. And by default, Google is keeping your data that is unaggregated for 2 months. And that just means it can tie an event to a user. It keeps it for 2 months. That's not very long, right? That's 60 days. And that is going to affect the explore section of GA4. You can, whatever that data retention is set to, is the only amount of data that you'll be able to use in explore. So in the explore section, you'll only get 60 days worth of data. In the report section, you'll have all of your data in theory, in all of your standard reports. Anything that you're, once you start filtering things, it might break. Once you start adding secondary dimensions, it might break, right? Because it's working with that aggregate data. So you still have to go in after that auto migration and change it from 2 months to 14 months if you have the ability to. That can be a privacy thing. So obviously, you know, consult your lawyer, all that kind of fun stuff. But, you know, that auto migration really, I would argue, didn't really help most people. It really didn't.
Well, I suppose that auto migration brought yourself a lot of work in.
Well, yeah, I mean, it, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they did you a favor. But,
yeah, in a sense, I suppose.
Yeah, so prior 1st of July, when you basically had both, you know, the old UA and new GA4 side by side, why was the numbers, the data, totally different, you know?
Yeah, so like I said, they're completely different data structures, right? So for instance, let's take users. In Universal Analytics, we had a metric users. In GA4, we had a metric users. But actually, the users metric is really active users in GA4. And active users is calculated based on whether or not a user has had an engaged session. An engaged session is something completely new in GA4, which is anybody that was on a site for 10 or more seconds, viewed 2 or more pages, or had a conversion event, right? And this engaged session really kind of shook up a lot of the data that we have in GA4. But basically, that user's metric was calculating people that didn't bounce, more or less. And in Universal Analytics, you got all of the users. So in GA4, we do have a metric called total users. It's not used anywhere, but you can access it when you customize a report or when you use the API. You do get that total users, and that number was a lot closer to what we saw in Universal Analytics. But it's the same thing with sessions, right? So in GA4, they're reporting on engaged sessions. In Universal Analytics, they were reporting on just sessions. So if you have a 70%, 80% bounce rate, you're going to see a much lower number in Universal Analytics than what you, or a much higher number in Universal Analytics than you would see in GA4, because GA4 is not going to count all the people that just left the site automatically. So yeah, it really comes down to the fundamentals of the data that's being collected, because it's actually different. They use the same names, but it's actually different.
I think that's the confusion, because they're using the same names.
Yep.
Now, I think a few weeks ago, I got an agency asking me to set up a column for bounce rate, mm-hmm. right, which I did, and there's a column for bounce rate. Now, going off what you've just said, That bounce rate percentage figure, does that mean it's not the percentage of the users that it's actually reporting on? Because if you said that basically what it's reporting on is the figure of people that's not bounced.
Right. So, and you, and this is another good instance of using the same name but a different metric. So in Universal Analytics, we had bounce rate, which is what a lot of specifically SEOs, but marketers in general kind of like clung to. But it was a very elusive metric. We never got a straightforward answer as to what it's measured. Like, what is the gauge, right? When are they saying that someone bounced and when are they saying that somebody didn't bounce? And in GA4, they came out with this engagement rate metric, which made it very, and defined it, made it very, very clear. And so originally when GA4 came out, they didn't have a bounce rate metric, but marketers threw a huge fit and they were like, we need this bounce rate because this is what we've trained our clients to know. And in, and now you're giving us engagement rate, which is the polar opposite. So Google went in and added bounce rate. But if you put bounce rate next to engagement rate, they equal 100% if you add them together. So it's just the complete negative of the engagement rate. So you take total number of so you take the number of bounced or unengaged sessions, divide it by number of total sessions, and you're going to get your bounce rate. Where if you take the total number of engaged sessions, divide it by total sessions, you're going to get the engagement rate. So it's not the same bounce rate. Again, it's not the same bounce rate that we had in Universal Analytics. It's just the other portion of the 100%, right? So if you had a 70% engagement rate, you're going to have a 30% bounce rate.
Right. So it's really just a naming convention, getting used to what the names mean and not taking for granted that they mean exactly the same as the old UA.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so when somebody sets up GA4, is it better to set it up directly through the website or through Tag Manager?
I push everyone to try and use Tag Manager. It just makes setups a lot easier, in my opinion. It makes it a lot easier because it's easier to document. It's easier to see everything in one place if you set it up through Tag Manager, right? Like as far as creating events and things like that go. Now, if you're not going to be going in and creating events and doing all that, then in theory, you could just hard code it onto the site, put the tag in the header and call it a day. But I'm all about like setting up for the long term. So in my head, it's like, go ahead and set up Tag Manager now and use it so that when the time comes that you are ready to create, like collect more complex things, because there will become a time that you are, it's already there. The foundation's already set. All you have to do is add things. And by the way, if you're working with a client and you can get them to put Tag Manager on the site, it's a lot easier to make changes. You don't have to talk to a developer every single time you want to collect something.
Yeah, that is quite an advantage. Now, I have noticed myself in some instances that by going through Tag Manager, sometimes analytics aren't reported because the tag hasn't fired when people's visited. And I think that's caused issues. When obviously agencies have been trying to communicate with clients on the numbers, and suddenly you've got this differentiator because purely that the tag hasn't fired for some reason.
Yeah, so I'm not an over, I'll just put it out there, I'm not an overly technical person. So I don't have like a direct answer as to like what exactly to look for. But what I do is, one, I look to see if the tag has, because you can put, when you create the tag in Tag Manager, when you create any tag in Tag Manager, you can put like a time delay on it. And some people do that because they think it's going to slow down the site to have them all, all of them load, but they do it asynchronously anyway. So unless it's like a tag that's not really that important, I suggest we don't use that time delay feature. But that's the first thing I go in and check for is like, okay, did we go in and put delay on here or say like this needs to fire last, right? So, but if that's not the case, then what I usually do is I go to the site and using Google developer tools, right? So I inspect the page and then you go to the network tab. And when you put in the little search bar in that network tab, collect. And when you reload the page, it shows you everything, right? That's loading. And you'll see how long it takes for that, for your Google tag to fire, because the only thing that's going to come up is with that collect search variable is your, like, are your pixels. Your tracking pixels. So that can kind of show you how long it's taking and if it's taking a long time. Or like, I just came across a site the other day where like it wouldn't fire unless you like hovered over the website. It was something really, really weird. So that's the easiest way to see how long it's taking. So if it's taking a long time, you know, then at that point you kind of have to reach out. Well, for me, I have to reach out to a developer and be like, hey, what did we do? Why'd you do that? Because now we're messing up our numbers. That's the only advice I got there.
So when clients come to you, what would you say is the three biggest problems that they need your help with?
That they need help with?
Yes.
When it comes to GA4 specifically, generally, it's some sort of event tracking, right? And maybe they've tried to use, so in GA4, like in the platform, actually, in the platform, you can create custom events. And a lot of people try and use that, but it's very, very nuanced. Like, you have to get very specific with those events. And so generally they just don't work and people don't know why. They're either double counting or not counting at all. And so helping with that. And then, you know, kind of like we talked about at the beginning of the session, finding where things live is another big part, right? Them going, we don't have this report. I need something similar. And, you know, helping them either recreate the report or find where it is or putting it. So cool thing about GA4, the navigation is customizable in the report section, at least. So I spend a lot of time helping clients just reorganize their navigation so that they can find all the reports that they want. And then just overall, I guess another big one is going in and registering all of the custom dimensions. So they're passing through, form type, but they can't see form type in any of their reports. It's because you have to go in and register that dimension in GA4 as a custom dimension. So those are probably the biggest things that I'm doing with most clients, but also that's very fundamental, like tracking focused. The only other thing that I would say is like helping them kind of assess what they need to ask lawyers. Generally is what I tell them. They need to go talk to a lawyer, whether they do it or not, that's on them. But the privacy piece, right? So Google Signals, and then that data retention stuff, kind of pointing them in that direction and saying, hey, you know, yeah, your demographic data isn't coming through. It's because Google Signals isn't turned on. You can turn it on, but you need to check with a lawyer first and make sure that it's like you've disclosed that in your cookie policy, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. Now, in your personal opinion, what do you think Google need to add to GA4 to improve it?
Yeah, so I talked about multi-channel funnels in that they're available in the advertising section, and it is, but it's not complete. So you can only look at multi-channel funnels through the default channel grouping, the source or the medium. So you don't get source and medium in the same place. It's all either source or medium. That functionality was a lot greater in Universal Analytics, where we were able to see the, you know, landing pages. We could look at multi-channel funnels through landing pages. We could look at it through source and medium together. We could do source, medium, and landing page and see the conversion paths that way. That's really what I'm looking for next from Google, is the ability to do better multi-touch reporting for conversions. That's the biggest thing I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. So how can SEOs, is there somewhere SEOs can communicate with Google to basically like feature requests for GA4?
I have no idea. I'm going to be completely honest. I have no idea. I just take it as it comes, to be honest.
Right. Well, I'm going to say that's the whole part of this.
Yeah.
you know, but yeah.
I mean, so, just last year, though, they rolled out like, I mean, granted, it was the year. So last year was when they cut off Universal Analytics data collecting. Last year alone, that they pushed almost 20 updates, I think. So hopefully it's coming.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, tracking ROI.
Yeah.
What can SEOs do in GA4 to track ROI to a point that it's enough data for them to go to the C-suite to get more budget?
Yeah. So the big one, I mean, obviously, in that advertising section, and most SEOs are never going to go in there unless they listen to this podcast. So listen to this podcast, dang it. In the advertising section is where all the attribution data lives. I don't know why they call it advertising. It has nothing to do with ads. It's all attribution data is in there. So you can use the attribution model comparison. You can look at the multi-touch stuff. But basically in there, it gives you a number. So if you've assigned a value to a conversion, it'll give you a number as to like, you know, Google organic traffic contributed to X percent of conversions. Same thing with in that multi-touch, and you can go into that multi-touch or the conversion path and filter for organic. And then you can see all of the conversion paths as well. So in an instance where this would be really helpful, especially for SEOs, is like, let's say you're being found through social media for whatever reason, and then people come to the site organically and maybe they sign up for a newsletter. So then they're coming back to the site through email and ultimately converting. So what happens is we have like a first touch acquisition, which is user acquisition. And then we have kind of like a last touch acquisition, which is that session. And those reports are easily accessible in the reporting section, right? So it would say, okay, Facebook led to this conversion. And then you would look at the session report and it would say, oh, email led to this conversion. But organic is completely left out of the puzzle there, even though it was one of the touch points. That's why it's really important to go into that conversion path, filter for organic. And then you could go to C-suite and say, hey, listen, I know that we're not seeing like direct correlation between organic and revenue, but if you look at it, we're actually a really essential part of like the middle touch points. And maybe people are coming in and doing more research before they sign up for an email that offers them 20% off and then they convert, right? Like, that report's really big, or like using that section's really big. Another thing that I get a lot of my clients to do is create. So in GA4, you can create custom audiences based off sequences. So you can say somebody comes to the site and visits a blog page, and then you can say it indirectly. So at any point after that, they convert. Then you can say, all right, this user visited a blog post and then converted. Obviously, we were a part of that that user journey. And when you create an audience in GA4, you have the ability to fire an event when somebody's added to the audience. And so that's a really good way to have a metric to go to whomever and say, all right, we had, you know, of the 100 conversions we had this month, 20 of them visited a blog post before they converted. So that's like 20% of all of our conversions visited one of the pieces of content that we created before converting.
Yeah. I mean, just sat back listening to you, that, I mean, you look at GA4, but there's so much you can do with it.
Yeah.
That, you know, a lot of the conversations I've had, you know, they're just not aware. And even myself, just like you said before, we all learn, you know, all the time, you know, and I think that some SEOs are complaining, you know, some rightful, but some, I think it's just because they don't know where anything is. You know, they don't know.
Which is totally fair, right? Like your job, if you're an SEO, your job is to work on content. It's to work on the back end. It's to work on getting backlinks. It's to do all these things, right? The last thing you want to do is go learn a brand new platform, right? So I get it. But, you know, just because you can't find it or can't get it to do what you want it to do doesn't mean it can't do that. It just might mean that you need to, you know, do a little research or ask someone for help, which is totally fine.
Yeah. I mean, we all learning all the time.
Yep, exactly. That's why we're all in this industry. If you didn't want to learn all the time, you picked the wrong career.
That's definitely, I think, what I mean. 23 years and there isn't a day go by where I'm not learning.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but right, I want to rewind right to the beginning and something you said that, you know, you'd rather work on something that interests you, like when you're working with bands. You know, you had a personal connection there. Do you think that if you have that personal connection with the industry you're working in, that you're going to find more opportunities? You're going to, you know, see these things?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, I got really lucky too, because, I mean, like I said, I started working with bands and then I went somewhere and they were like, now you have to talk about sandwiches, and that's a bummer. I didn't want to talk about sandwiches, but like it got me started, right? I don't know. I think anytime you have the chance to work with something or someone or whatever that you're passionate about, it's always going to be your, in my opinion, you're always going to be a little bit more successful. Now, there does come a line, right, when we're talking about law of diminishing returns. Like if you're so successful that people start, or not so successful, like so passionate that people start taking advantage of you, then you got a little bit of a problem. But in most instances, you know, if I'm doing SEO for a site that sells, you know, litter scoopers, and I'm working for a site that sells drum sets, one of those is going to be a lot more fun for me to go and create content about. Okay, I guess that's a bad example. Nobody wants to talk about litter scoopers, but like horses, right? So let's say they sell like custom saddles. And then I also have a site that is about like drum sets, sells drum sets. I'm still going to want to work on the one that talks about drum sets, because like I want to learn about drum sets. I want to know what people are asking and all of that, because I have a drum set and then I'm going to be learning about it, right? So, you know, I think there's always going to be a lot more opportunity in that. I think another great story that I think about is like Marie Hayes, Dr. Marie. She, I don't know if, I'm sure she's told this story, but now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know that I've read it anywhere, but she was a vet And she created a site just to answer like basic questions that she gets all the time as a vet. And that's how she got into SEO. Like, she's a doctor because she's a veterinarian. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, some of the stories that people have, I think, you know, a lot of them has just stumbled into the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
I think I were in the industry a few years before I'd even heard of SEO. You know, yeah. It's that's the case. But say, for instance, let's stick with your passion, drum sets, a website that sells drum sets. Now, how can you go into GA4 to look for hidden opportunities that you can use as an SEO to actually think, we need to, that's the thing we need to put focus on.
Yeah, so like I said earlier, out of the box, GA4 can track site searches and search terms. If you use one of the more common URL parameters of either like search equals or keyword equals or query equals or S equals whatever in your URL when people search things on your site. So if you look at those search terms, I'm actually writing a blog post on this right now. If you look at those search terms, you can find a lot of opportunities for content that people are looking for. We go to, you know, all of these keyword research tools, whether you're using Moz or Ahrefs or SEMrush or, you know, whatever. We go to all these tools and say, hey, Google, what are people looking for on your site about products that I offer? Why don't you go to your own site and say, hey, what are people looking for on my site? Because what you might find is, one, you don't have a piece of content that people are looking for. We're talking about drum sets, and people are coming to our site and they want to know how to replace the drum heads. And they're looking up replace, replace, replace on our site, and we have nothing on the site about how to replace drum heads. Well, that's an opportunity, right? Like, if this many people are coming to our site looking for a piece of content, imagine, one, if we answered their question, and two, all of the people that are going to these massive sites like Google and asking this question, right? So that's a massive opportunity. If you take it a step further, you can look at what page people were on when they made the search. And let's say we do actually have a piece of content that talks about replacing drum heads. So, but they're on the e-commerce part of our site, and they don't know how to replace their drum heads. They're looking at replacement drum heads and they're like, I don't know. Like, can I even do this myself, or should I just go to a shop and have somebody do this? So they're on the e-commerce part of the site for drum heads, and they type in, you know, replace at the top of our site. Well, that's a really good opportunity. We have this piece of content. We should be linking to it from that e-commerce page and say, looking to replace your drum heads. You know, here's a how-to. So I think using that search term dimension that we're given right out of the box can be so extremely helpful. You know, other things, you can connect to Search Console with GA4, and you can look at, if you go to the landing page section, it shows you like how those people who have come to your site organically, how they interact with your site, you know, what that engagement rate is, what events are they completing, what conversions are they completing, all that stuff. So it lets you know, like, hey, these are the pages that are ranking. Are they ranking for relevant keywords? Are they not ranking for relevant keywords? And people are just bouncing right away, or whatever that may be. And then the last thing that I'll kind of mention is, so people that have e-com sites, I keep going back to e-com, but there's a lot of like nuances around that. But if you are connected to Merch Center, which you should be if you're using Merch Center, Google Merchant Center, then they will run like free shopping listings for you. And if you go into your acquisition reports and you go to campaigns, if Google has run any of these free shopping ads for or free shopping listings for you, the campaign will be called free shopping, free listing or free shopping listing. I can't remember off the top of my head. And then you can add a secondary dimension of landing page. And now you know which pages, you know, they're running the free listings for. And if the conversion rate's really high, well, then maybe you also run ads for those landing pages, right? Paid shopping ads. You can run paid shopping ads for those. So that's kind of where SEO and SEMs can kind of shake hands a little bit and go, all right, we can be friends.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because usually the conversation as I have is very, very top level. So when you mentioned there that you have the ability to see what site search has been done on which page. Now, something like that in GA4, how easy or how hard is it to set that up?
So it's not in the reports section. You do have to go into Explore. And if you've not been into Explore, it can be a little bit intimidating. It kind of looks like Data Studio or Looker. But basically, all you would have to do is you go into Explore, create a new exploration, like blank one. You're going to, next to the dimensions, there's going to be a word in the left-hand column. It says dimensions. There's a plus sign next to it. You would go into dimensions, look for page refer and search term. Check both of those and import them. I don't know why you have to import them into the reports, but you do. So you import them. Next to metrics, you look up event count, import that. And then you put page refer and search query in the rows section. And then you put event count in the values section. And now you have your report.
Wow.
You just have to know it's another one of those. You just have to know it's there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think. Now, this may sound very basic, but it's something that I get asked a lot. UTM tracking.
Yeah. Yeah. So out of the box, this is probably what it was. When GA4 was launched, they didn't support UTM tracking very well at all. And so there were some issues around it. Now it works just like it did in Universal Analytics. Remember, UTMs are case sensitive. So if you use a capital in Facebook one time and then a lowercase in Facebook the next time, it's going to show up as two different sources or mediums or whatever. So always be conscious of that. UTM I use it in most of my tracking strategies for people. So definitely use it. My local SEOs out there use it in all of your Google business profiles. So you know which locations people are coming from, which links in your Google business profiles people are clicking on. Still alive and well in GA4. So the difference is, though, again, we've kind of talked about it, but there are different types of acquisition in GA4. So you have your user acquisition, and then you have your session acquisition. So in user acquisition, you're working with first user and then either source or medium or source medium or default channel grouping, blah, 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 blah. And for session specific, then you're using either session source medium, session campaign, whatever. Now, where UTMs can mess things up, and I say that lightly, is if you rely on default channel groupings. So if you're looking at where it says organic search, organic video, paid social, blah, blah, blah. If you're looking at that screen, because those default channel groupings, Google's very, very specific as to what, like they have, you can download the Excel file that shows all of the different sites and what Google considers to be organic search or paid search or organic social, right? So if you're using UTMs and it doesn't recognize, you know, you're putting in FB-1 for Facebook and, you know, whatever, it's going to drop all of the things that it doesn't recognize into an unassigned box or category. So just be aware of that. Most of my reports and most of my clients, we've switched everything to Source Medium because that's what we had in Universal Analytics. So it's really easy for people to understand. But yeah, that's probably the biggest issue that comes about with UTMs is that people don't, and this is the same as it was in Universal Analytics, they don't have a common taxonomy and they use uppercase and lowercase willy-nilly. And also if people are relying on default channel groupings, then it will send a lot of traffic into the unassigned section.
All right. Now, if somebody needs to know something about GA4 or they have a problem, they can go to someone like yourself to help them. But for yourself individually, how do you keep learning?
I stay in the platform. I'm in the platform every single day. You know, it's like anything that you want to learn, right? You have to be willing to be messy and mess things up and break things and fix them. I'm not afraid to ask for help. I go and ask people in the Measure Slack questions. I tap into friends like Charles Farina. I mentioned Simo earlier. He's got a ton of stuff out there. So there's a lot of content out there about GA4 and Tag Manager and all that and how they work together. I've been using a lot more ChatGPT lately to kind of help me with some tracking things with Tag Manager specifically. But I think the biggest thing is, you know, get your hands dirty, be in the platform. Don't be afraid to mess things up. I mean, maybe don't use like your biggest client. Maybe like make a fake website or a hobby site and use that. And then also like ask for help. Don't be afraid to ask for help. There's tons of people on Twitter that offer advice. Like I mentioned, the Measure Slack. Find your little community of people and ask. Everybody's learning it. I mean, that's the reality of this. It just came out. You know, I mean, now it's 3 years old, but most people have only been in it for like a year. So and we're all kind of in the same boat together and we're all learning.
We certainly are every single day. Now, for reporting businesses, mm-hmm. business reporting. Now, when you're doing year on year reporting, like a lot of, you know, teams have to, how are they going to tackle the year-on-year reporting from last year or year before using the old analytics to now using GA4 when the data's so different? How, you know, then you have to present the year-on-year figures to the C-suite. How, you know, have you had any conversations on how people's tackling that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the best answer here is going to be Looker Studio. And what I have a YouTube video out about this. What I've done with, you know, most clients is, you know, we have a lot of data in Universal Analytics, or we had a lot of data in Universal Analytics, but the reality of it is we only used a few reports. Like I can probably name the four reports that I used for my clients in Universal Analytics. So what I did was I used a Google Sheet extension called SyncWith, and I just exported all of those reports with the date dimension into Google Sheets, separate Google Sheets. And then you can use Looker Studio to combine that data with the data from GA4. It's not slow. I mean, it's not fast. It is pretty slow sometimes. But it doesn't require a bunch of new knowledge, I would say. A lot of people are using things like BigQuery, which is nice, but then you have to know SQL and then you're paying for queries. And if you mess it up, then you're paying for more queries and all that stuff. So usually most people can get away with just exporting into Google Sheets and then comparing your GA4 data with that data from Google Sheets in Looker Studio.
Yeah, but what about because the track totally different and the numbers the numbers aren't going to be synced, and like, you know, you're presenting a report and like the C-suite said, well, we've invested all this money, why has it gone down?
Yeah.
Because obviously it's not tracking.
So. Yeah, so like I said earlier, you do get in the API, like users, you get total users, which is kind of the similar metric there from GA4 to Universal Analytics. But I also would argue that this is a really good time to have those educational conversations around, like, listen, we're giving you, right, we're giving you the data around total users this year because we're comparing it to Universal Analytics. But when GA4 came out, Google actually gave us a better metric or a different metric, depending on how you want to word it, around active users. And this is what it's based off of. I think that education with clients is key, and having those kind of transparent conversations. But for now, in most cases, there is a somewhat similar metric. But yeah, maybe make a legend or a key this year and give them, you know, some definitions that they know what they're looking at.
Yeah, wonderful. Now, is there anything that we haven't already spoken about that you personally believe it's vital that people understand or know about?
Nothing off the top of my head. Well, I guess, sure, we'll do. So the navigation in GA4 is customizable. We talked about that in the reports section. You can also customize your reports in GA4. So there's a little pencil in the top right corner of most reports. And if you click that, you can customize reports, meaning you can change the metrics that are available in the reports. You can add filters to those reports. So especially like SEOs, you know, I say go in and just filter all of your reports, create custom reports that have the organic filter on them. And that way you don't have to go in and add it every single time. But beware, if you customize a report and save it as the current report, it changes it for everyone. So don't do that. Customize it and save it as a new report. And then in the report section, you can go into the library and create a collection, put all of the reports that you created in that little collection, save it, publish it, and then that collection will show up in your navigation in the report section. So just a nice little tip there.
Wonderful. Now, on that note, what conversations would you like to have with people and where can they find you?
Yeah, so I have a course, GA4 SEO, coming out. I'm currently doing like live recordings of it with folks, and that's been fun. But yeah, GA4 SEO will be coming out. I have and that's very specific to people in SEO, right? That are wanting to do some of these more. I have tutorials for most of the things that we've covered in this. I do have another course called Get to Know and Use the Shit Out of GA4. It's the more of the fundamentals. How do you set it up? What are all the things that you need to change? Where do things live? How to get to them? That kind of stuff. I'm on Twitter posting threads on how to do all of these things all the time. But you can just, if you just Google me, Brie E. Anderson, Brie like the cheese, Brie E. Anderson, Twitter, LinkedIn, TikTok, all that fun stuff, sharing this. And then Beast Analytics, like I said, GA4 is part of what we do right now. It's a lot of what we do because, and by we, I mean me, it's a lot of what I do because the tracking part is fundamental, right? We walk people through benchmarking, exploring, analyzing, strategizing, and testing based off of their data. And so if you're interested in leveraging your data more in 2024, then please reach out on Twitter or go to the site, beastanalyticsco.com, and I would love to chat.
Wonderful. Well, this has been incredibly insightful. You know, some people think, oh, GA4, yeah, it's analytics, a few numbers, and that's it. But honestly, to go really deep into this and sharing this knowledge is incredible. Thank you so much for joining me.
Of course, and thanks for having me. It's been fun.
Yeah, wonderful. Many thanks.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Unscripted SEO Interview Podcast with me, Mark A. Preston. Join us next time as I interview more top SEO professionals.